Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sword and Shield Show. I'm your host, Catherine Resendez. My guest will be calling in later. Her name is Marianne Garcia. She is the leader of a Celebrate Recovery group, and we're going to hear a bit about her testimony and how she came to be a leader there. First, I'd like to draw your attention to one of my favorite scripture verses, which is Hebrews 4:16, and it tells us that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help us in our times of need. So, if you're having a time of need, I'd like you to remember that the Lord tells us we are never alone. He is always with us. He's always waiting for us to come to Him to ask for help. He's always ready to help us. That's Hebrews 4:16. And there are so many places in the Bible where the Lord tells us that He is with us and He will never leave us nor forsake us. Whenever we're worried, He offers us His rest. Whenever we're anxious, He offers us His peace. He tells us to read and meditate on His word daily, to take it into our hearts, to read it so that it will be in our minds, so that His Holy Spirit can bring it back to us, remind us of it when we need it for encouragement for ourselves or to encourage someone else, or so that we can draw peace from it, putting our faith, our hope, and our trust in the Lord. Today we're going to hear a lot about a great deal of pain and suffering that my guest, Marianne, has experienced, a great deal of loss, and how her family has suffered, but how she's turning that around, or rather how the Lord is turning that around in her life and using it, using her to help other people. Right now, I'd like to read just a couple of scripture verses from the Psalms, and later I'll be reading a full chapter of the Word. If you have a Bible, I hope you'll get it ready so that you can read along with us. Also, I invite you to tell other people about the show. Again, it's called The Sword and Shield Show. We'll be on every week at 7 o'clock, 7 p.m., that's Pacific time. We're in the Los Angeles area. If you know anyone who is or has been a victim of domestic violence or of any kind of violence, I hope you will tell them about the show and find out where they can go to get the help that they need in their times of need and their times of trouble. Because the Lord wants us to be there for each other. He created us to be in family. That's why He created the church. The church is not a building, but people, the people of God, the followers of Christ Jesus. He created us to be in family with Him and with each other, to develop a personal relationship with Him, to be in fellowship with Him. I'm thinking about one particular word that keeps coming to mind when I think of Marianne's story, and that is redemption. Redemption. And the Lord loves to redeem us. He loves to do that in our lives. When we receive Him as our Lord and Savior, He does redeem us, and He chooses each one of us. It isn't as though we find Him. He finds us. We're the ones who are lost, and He knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly what we're thinking. There isn't a thought that we can have that the Lord doesn't know ahead of time. I suppose that can seem frightening, but it's also a very comforting thing. And I'd like to read right now just a couple of verses, the last two verses, from Psalm 139. Psalm 139. those last two verses, verse 23 and 24, and that says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Another translation might say, "Wicked way," instead of "grievous way." But of course, that doesn't change the meaning of it. It means the same thing. The Lord knows what's in our hearts and in our minds before we do. Sometimes we never know. But the Lord knows us and knows what's good for us. And He knows how to lead us. And the psalmist here is asking to be led in the way everlasting. And the way everlasting, of course, would be the way of Christ. And so I don't know what you're dealing with in your life now. I know what my struggles are, of course. And I used to try to do everything all on my own. I didn't know that I was supposed to depend on the Lord to help me with all these struggles. I knew I was supposed to pray to Him. But one day, someone said to me, "You're not supposed to try to do everything all alone. You can't. You need to give that to God. You need to turn it over to God." But I had no clue what she meant by that. What do you mean, turn it over to God? How do I turn it over to God? If you're in that place and you don't know the Lord, if you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, I ask you to pay special attention today. I hope you'll continue listening, because we're going to talk a great deal about how the Lord redeems us, how He can change our lives, how He helps us. He provides for us when we cannot. When we have no place left to turn, the Lord is always there. The Holy Spirit of God is in the world, and He's always waiting for us to turn to seek the Lord. And there He is waiting to help us. Unfortunately, for so many of us, that doesn't happen until we find ourselves in a situation that we cannot get out of. When we are so distressed, so drained of energy, or so ill, that we just can't think of what to do next to help ourselves. But if we can remember to call on the Lord, He will help us. He is there waiting for us to turn to Him. And again, my guest today, who is Mary Ann Garcia, who will be calling in shortly, she really has an amazing testimony. And it involves, unfortunately, a lot of hurt and pain. But the Lord has brought her through all of that and has given her a new life in which she is now helping others. She is the leader of a group called Celebrate Recovery. You may have heard of that. And there are many chapters of Celebrate Recovery. Celebrate Recovery, usually in churches. But you may have thought that that's something that's only for people who struggle with addictions to drugs and alcohol. But that is not the case. And you will certainly hear more about that once my caller is on, and she will be on with me in just a short time. In the meantime, though, I'd like to give out some information for anyone who needs help, for women and children especially who are victims of domestic violence or any type of violence. There's a number for the Sheepfold, Sheepfold, that anyone can call when they're in need of help, which is, this is for a transitional home for women and children who are victims of violence. Again, it's called the Sheepfold, and you can dial 1-877-SHEEPFOLD, the corresponding numbers, or 1-877-743-3255. 373-653. Once again, that number for the Sheepfold Transitional Home for women and children who are victims of violence, the number is 1-877-SHEEPFOLD. Also, for anyone who needs other types of services, for emergency services, for shelter or food, you can call the emergency number, the emergency line for Los Angeles County. It's just three digits, 211. Just dial 211 and follow the prompts to ask for help. Another number for adults who are victims of violence, for example, for the elderly who are being abused, please call 877-477-3646. The other number I'd like to give you quickly for child abuse, the child abuse hotline, is 800-540-4000. That's 800-540-4000. Again, you're listening to The Sword and Shield Show. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you'll listen every week at 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. on Thursdays. Hello, Marianne.
Hi.
Welcome to The Sword and Shield Show.
Thank you so much, Catherine.
Well, you're very welcome. It's a pleasure to have you be my guest. And so now you are live on the air with me. And
awesome.
Yes. I've just been announcing some phone numbers that people can call when they need help. And some of the numbers are for women and children who are victims of violence. One of the numbers is also for elderly people who are being abused, who have been abused, and the 800 number for the child abuse hotline. I know that you've suffered a lot in your life, and your family has as well. You've suffered a great deal of violence. And I was thinking earlier, if I had to use only one word to describe you to the listeners, what word would I use, or a word to describe your condition or your state in life now? And I thought of the word redeemed.
Amen.
And so later, I'd like to read that, because I wonder, how do you feel about that? Do you feel redeemed?
Absolutely. There's probably no other word to describe
really
what God has done in my life, and that is actually very accurate.
Okay, wonderful. Because my next question would have been, well, what word would you use if there was only one word you could use to describe what has happened in your life now, your state in life now? What other word would that be? So, I'm very happy that you do feel redeemed, that the Lord has actually redeemed your life and transformed you.
Yes.
And
yes.
So now with that, I mentioned, and in the description of the show, I said that you are a leader of a Celebrate Recovery group.
Yes.
And I'm going to ask you to tell us what events in your life led you to become a leader in a Celebrate Recovery group. But first, I'd like to ask if you would tell us a little about your early life and how you came to know the Lord.
I actually was led to the Lord at a very young age. I want to say about 12 or 13, I had an aunt named Maria, and Maria Lopez, she led me to the Lord in my grandma's den. It was real simple. She's been sold out for the Lord all her life, and it was just an opportunity that we had. She saw us all growing up, and I know that it was just a moment that she just got God used her. And I accepted the Lord at a very young age. So I'm probably 12 or 13 years old.
And did you belong to a particular church? Did you attend church regularly and get involved in any types of ministries or clubs of any kind as a child after that?
You know what? I did not. My family, we were raised Catholic, and so we did all our little sacraments and
all your little sacraments.
Church. Yeah, so we did our first communion and our confirmation, and we did catechism when I was a young girl. I did catechism, but church on a Sunday, on a regular, like, we didn't belong to any church growing up. We had a church in the local neighborhood, but normally that was just something that we did on the holidays, like Easter and Christmas, or if there was something going on, maybe somebody's passing or something, we attended a service. But it was not on a regular basis at all.
Okay. And so you did not have an opportunity to become discipled, is what I was leading up to. As now, when we lead someone to the Lord, we want to follow up with them and help them, to mentor them or introduce them to
Absolutely.
Someone who can mentor them so that they can be discipled, which means that they can be trained and really develop a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord and draw closer to Him instead of being led away after saying the prayer to receive the Lord and then not following up to make any attempt. Yes, because otherwise we can just be led away from Him again and think, oh, I've received the Lord, I'm a Christian now. But then if we are not in fellowship with other Christians who can influence us, who can teach us, help us, be there to support us, we can just fall away very easily. And so I'd like to say that I also grew up in the Catholic Church. Yes, I was born into Catholicism, and so I know what you're talking about when you say the sacraments and Holy Communion and the sacrament of penance or confession, your confirmation. I remember those like yesterday. I'd like to share this just quickly. I remember sitting in church with my pretty white dress, and I felt so close to the Lord. I really did. I felt so special being there in the service when I received communion for the first time, the Holy Eucharist, as we call it. My parents were with me. With all of my classmates had their parents with them, my father on one side, my mother on the left. And I remember something funny. And I wanted to stand up, and I couldn't because my father was sitting on my dress. He was sitting on my left. He was sitting on my left, and I wanted to get up before he did. He was sitting on that part of my dress. I had a wide white dress, and my mother was on the other side. That was so funny. But anyway, that was a special time for me. I felt really close to the Lord, so close to Jesus. And I remember being confirmed as well. I always dreaded going to confession, going to see the priest. And I remember Father Patrick Cahill. He was Irish and spoke with that, I guess you call it the Irish brogue, had a very heavy accent, and very tall, red-faced man, but he was he had a great sense of humor. He was a very friendly person. And I remember he loved to play soccer. We learned that he played soccer when he was a very young man. And he could do some great tricks with a soccer ball, using a basketball, because there wasn't a soccer ball available. But anyway, so I can relate to what you're talking about. Although my family did belong to a church, and we were in church every Sunday. Almost every Sunday. And but as I remember, we went home after the service and back to life as usual, and there were no changes made. And so it wasn't as though we read the Bible, even though we studied the catechism. And I love that. But no one in my home ever read the Bible. And so I wondered about that. You were not discipled by anyone after your aunt led you to the Lord. Did she ever read the Bible to you or talk to you about the word of the Lord, the scriptures, and how to use it in your life?
No, not that I remember at all. I don't remember that. It's so important now that I think back, but at that time, no, I was not. I never even opened a Bible. We had a Bible in our house, but just like you said, nobody read it. Nobody read the Bible in the house at all. So no, I don't remember being discipled, or even she never read the Bible to me. It was just an event that happened in my grandma's den, and that's all I remember.
And so, moving forward, I'd like you to share with us as much or as little as you're comfortable sharing about those events in your life that brought you to a relationship with the Lord and led you to this position that you're in today as the leader of a recovery group where you are helping other people and discipling mm-hmm. them, because you didn't have the advantage of that. So I'll let you speak now.
Right. Oops. Thank you. I just want to say that I'm really grateful to be on the show. And so what happened for me was that growing up, it was me and my sister. My younger sister were 5 years apart. And my parents worked hard for their whole life for everything they have. We were pretty spoiled for two Mexican girls. We didn't get in the kitchen and clean and cook. And we didn't cook. We cleaned. We didn't cook. Like a lot of Mexican families, they get in there and they're, you know, the young girls are taught, you know, fabulous food dishes. Like my mom yes. was pretty spoiled. My mom pretty much spoiled us. And so we would cook, we would clean and wash at the table, wash the dishes. And I mean, we didn't do too much cooking and we didn't speak Spanish. I still don't know Spanish to this day.
Really?
My parents only spoke Spanish when they didn't want us to know something. So like Christmas time, that's when the house was speaking in Spanish and we didn't understand it. But, I grew up, I'm the oldest daughter of the two of us. And, eventually, my dad in high school, he had a bunch of friends that he hung out with. And at the time, I remember at one point in my life, I didn't understand anything about gangs or, what that was. But, my dad had these group of friends that he all hung out with, and, you know, later I came to find out that it was that they were gang, you know, gang related. But at the time I didn't understand that those were just our family friends and we hung out with them. And so eventually before even my drinking or my using started, I remember all those families that we hung out with and associated with. And I always remember family parties and so being around these certain families that, and the people that we hung out with, it was normal. I didn't know anything different. It wasn't like, when people would talk about like gang association or gang affiliation, I didn't identify that for a long time because that was just normal. Those are just the people that we grew up with and that I loved and I love to this day. It's just, that's never changed. But what it led to, what happened for me was that it led to being associated with a certain group of people. And eventually, I started growing up and I met boys and got boy crazy a little bit at the high school age. And I got introduced to, cocaine at a very young age, probably about 17 years old. I was introduced to cocaine and what I remember my whole life is always stuffing feelings, not really being able to express myself very well and not to be able to. My parents are amazing parents, but they did the best they could with what they had. And my mom, for instance, didn't grow up in a family where they talked about what they were feeling or how they were, you know, what was going on with like the emotional side. Like they had good parents. My grandma and grandpa were providers. My grandpa worked hard all his life as well, both my grandparents. But on the emotional side, it was kind of like that. Do what I say, not what I do. Or it was kind of like that, you know, you're seen and not heard. And so my feelings were kind of basically stuffed, and I never really talked to my parents about any of the things that I was going through, because at this time in high school and junior high school, we started getting teased, and I started
and
going through a lot
that?
Of emotional.
Well,
it's kind of like that. I don't say this very often, but I mean, it's going to be very, very honest with you. Like some of the girls, it would be like, you know, oh, you're such a pretty girl. But some of the girls were like either, I don't know, maybe jealous, and they would lie and they would say things about me and accuse me of things like wanting to be with their boyfriend or that I was doing this or doing that. And at the time in junior high school, I was still very innocent. And so I used to take all this heat from these different girls, older girls. And I never talked about it. And to a degree, I was bullied. And then at some point, I remember becoming the bully. I had to learn how to fight at a young age. I remember this girl in junior high school wanting to beat me up. Over boys, it was already like eighth grade, ninth grade. So I just remember always stuffing feelings and what I was going through and not being able to really talk to anybody, not really feeling comfortable going to anybody. So I think that it's very important to be able to listen to our children today. And mind you, it wasn't nothing really traumatic. Like it wasn't, you know, I wasn't being like molested or anything. It wasn't something really huge like that. But those little things taught me how to stuff feelings, those little things that I went through. And so eventually I became a mom. I got pregnant at a young age, and at 18, I gave birth to my first son, and I started to drink and use right before I had that baby. And so I stopped during my pregnancy, and right after he was born, and I want to say like maybe 5 or 6 months at his young age of 5 or 6 months, when he was 5 or 6 months old, I remember picking right back up where I started. And that was drinking, and eventually I went on my way back to cocaine, not right away, but eventually I did. And so when my children were growing up, I found no reason, as I started to give birth to my kids and have my children, I found no reason to not do the same things that I was taught. And I was always around those people, and it was now the neighborhood had become a priority in my life. The gang and the neighborhood had become a priority in my life, and I did the same thing that I did. Like, we would go to family functions, or we'd be hanging around with certain people, and I'd invite those people into my house. And by this time, although I started off really naive, not knowing and understanding the whole gang life, by this time, and by the time I'm having children, I'm very aware of everything that's going on, and I'm now not just aware of it, I'm participating in it. And I'd like to say for the record that I never got jumped into the neighborhood, but it was guilt by association for me. And my sister was jumped into the neighborhood, my younger sister. And as soon as she became an active gang member, everything changed for me. She's my little sister, and I'm very protective over people that I love. And I just, everything changed in my world. And I would, at that point, I used to go to parties in different places and different things. And then everything slowed down for me, because I was now aware of the fact that I was labeled from a certain gang. And if I went to different areas, then I was either going to get hit up, jumped, shot, whatever the case may be, because they associated me with that neighborhood. So my world downsized, and I was okay with that. I was very comfortable where I was at. And those, like I said, those people that I was running around with, I was raised with, and my dad, they were my dad's friends and my dad's friends' homeboys. And now it's my dad's friends' homeboys' kids. And so my world just became very active.
So it was the next generation.
Yes, I started to pass that on to my children. And that's where my whole story takes off. You know, I started to raise my children and drug. I was drug addicted. I was drinking and I was using, but because I didn't stick a needle in my arm because I didn't go to jail, because I didn't get my kids taken away. Like a lot of people, those are a lot of very common consequences that people pay when they're in that world, that that drug world and running around with the neighborhood. Like those are consequences that a lot of people pay. And because those things weren't happening to me, I thought I was better than. I thought that I was okay. I kind of thought that I had, it under control. And that's not the truth. The truth is that I was raising these children. They were watching me. They were watching me, and I would have active gang members in my house all the time. I was drinking, and I was using, and I was functioning. I was a functioning addict for a long time. And my daughter, my oldest daughter, they all watched me. They all watched me. And mind you, I have four children. I have two. I gave birth to six children. I have four children that I raised. I have two children that I gave up for adoption. Those two little boys were conceived in complete chaos by one night stands. And instead of having an abortion like I had done at a very young age of like 16 years old, I had an abortion. And rather than do that again, I found a Christian agency called Bethany Christian Services. And I was able to not abort those two babies, but give them up for adoption and give them a home and a chance at a life. And that's actually something that I hope one day they come to look for me. They're both now over the age of 18, so I hope that they come to find me one day. It is an open adoption. And I just started to drag my children through the mud is the bottom line. And the one that took the brunt of all this, the one that was affected the most is my oldest daughter. Her name was Frankie. And at some point in my life, I'm raising these children. I'm drug addicted. I'm running around in the neighborhood. Everything's getting chaotic, and I realize that there's something wrong. And in 95, I go to a recovery home. And a lot of people, it was called Dare You to Care out in South Central, 120th and Broadway. A lady named Ruth Hamilton opened her arms to me, took me into this brand new sober recovery home that she had just started. In 95, and I went there and I stayed there for a whole year. And what I didn't do is when I came back home, I got right back into those things. I wasn't willing to change things. I didn't plug into a church. I didn't plug into any kind of meetings, because at the time, Narcotics Anonymous has been a big part of my story. And I didn't plug into church or meetings. And so I continue to drag my kids through the mud, you know. And in 2005, my oldest daughter at the age of 13 was gang raped in a park in broad daylight. And there was 11 boys, and most of them got away with, didn't even get charged. It was a really horrible thing that I had to go through. I had already been through a recovery home, and I was trying to get my life together. I was clean. I had been clean 5 years at this point. And then that tragedy struck in my family, and my whole world was shaken up. And I didn't drink or use then.
Was there anyone there? And during that time, was there anyone mm-hmm. there to help and support you and your daughter and your younger children?
Absolutely. There was a lot of people. I have so many. By this time I was 5 years clean, and I had not yet rededicated myself back to the Lord. But at this point I was in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and I had brothers and sisters I was very close to, and people that I loved and that I trusted, and my parents and my family, everybody was there. But it was such a tragic event, and it was so devastating to our family that I don't know if you can relate to this, but everybody deals with death and anger and all that. Everybody deals with those kind of issues differently.
I know that.
Some people just bottle up, you know, some people are angry and they don't know how to talk about it. And so once again, I told you that since I was young, I remember that my family never really had a good way of communicating and expressing their feelings. So a lot of stuff, you know, although I want to be real honest, Catherine, although I had a lot of people around me and people that I trusted and people that were there to support us, I did inside feel very alone. I blamed myself. I blamed myself, and it was starting. I was starting to realize a little bit, a little bit. I was starting to realize the effects that this lifestyle that I had been living my whole life, how it had affected my children. I was starting to realize that all this time I had been not even really focusing and really truly loving my children, that I was just, we were just surviving, and I was just, you know, I was feeding them, I was clothing them, I wasn't guiding them in any kind of positive way. I was being a whole, Catherine, I'm going to be very honest, I was being a horrible role model, horrible. And so by this time, we go through this whole court process, and a couple of boys are charged with, out of 11 boys, I think 4 went to court. I think 3 were charged, and really, honestly, they got like a slap on the wrist. There's no DNA evidence that came back to support. So they basically got very minimal time in the juvenile hall system, very minimal, like I want to say just maybe a year or two. And that was the end of that, you know. And what happened from that point on was my daughter, a little bit later, about 9 months later, and not from the rape, but just from being promiscuous, my daughter became pregnant at 14. And so we were hit with another huge blow. And so, I've told you from the beginning, Catherine, that my life has been an open book, and there's nothing that I would never not talk about, because God has given me the gift of transparency. So I want you to know that at that age of 14 years old, I looked at my daughter and I told her that she needed to have an abortion, that there was no way that she was going to have this baby. She was only 14, you know, and I had gone in and out of church all my life. And so at this point, my daughter looked me straight dab in the face and said, "Mom, I don't believe in abortion." And that was the end of that. She wound up giving birth to this little boy in August of 2006, August 25th, 2006. She gave birth to a beautiful, healthy little boy. And she did really good with that little boy for about 18 months. And then she completely spun out. At about 18 months old, my daughter walked out of her son's life. And I believe it was all the pain and the shame and the guilt and everything else that I can't even imagine. I was never raped, so I can't imagine what she was going through. But she spun completely out of control at that point, and like a tornado, she went out of control, and she found her way to the drug life. She started drinking and using, and she found her way right back to that neighborhood that we grew up in my whole life. And that neighborhood became everything to her. And so she became actively involved in that gang. And you know, everything else was on the back burner. She started going to juvenile hall. She started going to eventually to the county jail. She was even in camp for a good 6 months. She was involved in a bunch of illegal activity, and she was in a high speed chase at one point in her life, and she wound up in camp. And at this point, I realized that everything's out of control. And as a mom, I don't know, I guess it was a little bit contradictory, but I was doing the same thing, but it wasn't okay for my daughter to be doing the same thing. And I seen her spinning out of control, and I tried to do everything I could at that point. I tried secular counseling, I tried Christian counseling, I tried modified behavior programs, I tried to take her to counseling and different things, but because in the beginning she was involved in such a horrific court case, that was a battle that was going on, they even mandated her to not be able to talk about what was going on yet. So we would go to therapy, but it was real general. It was real surface level stuff that the therapist would try to do with her, and she couldn't get into the nitty gritty of what had happened to her that day at the event, because we were in the middle of a court case. And
so I'd like to interject something, if I may.
Absolutely.
So what you're telling me is she didn't get all of the help that she needed. Mm-hmm. She was holding all of it bottled up inside of her. And so that's what caused her to just spiral out of control. And so you, I'm sure, through all of the things that you suffered, all of the things you saw your daughter suffering through, that must give you a great deal of strength and understanding to help other people in the position that you are in now as a leader.
Absolutely.
And celebrate recovery.
Absolutely.
Because I remember in an earlier conversation with you that you were telling me that Celebrate Recovery is not only for people who are battling addiction to drugs and alcohol, but it's for all of those people who have any kind of hurt, hang-up, or habit. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Yes, that's true.
And all of the guilt and shame and anger, mm-hmm. guilt, shame, and anger that go along with that. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
So I think the Lord has led you to where you are now.
Mm.
And because we're running short of time, and I need to save time to share the gospel message, I would like you to sum up and just... could you take like the next 2 or 3 minutes or so and get to the climax of what you want to say? What is the most important thing that you want to finish up by saying now so that whoever's listening can understand what was the impetus for you getting involved?
I just want
to helping other people, to helping and mentoring other people now.
I just like you to finish the story by saying that on December 18, 2011, my daughter was shot and killed, and it was gang violence, and the person that killed her was never caught. My family continues to suffer. They continue to go through many, many things behind that death and behind the loss of my daughter, and that has given me the complete passion that I have today to make a difference in anybody's life and anybody that would listen. That's why I jumped on this opportunity to be able to share this on the radio, because I've been through a lot, and God has turned my life around completely. I came to Chapel of Change about 9 months after my daughter was killed. Pastor Brian Worth started Chapel of Change, and I have been a faithful here at my church and serving in the ministry of Celebrate Recovery at Chapel of Change since 2012 when I got clean in September. Pastor Brian started his church in October. And I've been faithful here. I'm a leader here now at Celebrate Recovery. We have an amazing church that's growing in leaps and bounds. And God continues to put women in my life that I'm able to minister and help in any way I can. I try to do the best I can to reach out. I'm asked to share my testimony at different places now. Lately, it's been a little bit more places than not. That's exactly how I met you. I was out in the San Fernando Valley giving my testimony, and I believe that God's going to continue to use me. And it's only by His grace. Only by His grace, everything that I have gone through, He has completely turned around. And I give all the glory and all the honor to Him. I can't tell you exactly. I can't explain to you in words, but I can tell you that every day God gives me the strength that I need to get out of bed and to fight for what I have and to fight to save another life, to fight to just to be able to not, you know, when somebody loses a child, that depression wants to grab you and hold on to you. And I can only explain to you. No, people look at me and ask me all the time, Marianne, how do you do it? And it's God's strength. It's God's strength. That's all I can explain.
Absolutely.
We have services here in the city of Paramount. You can go to Chapel of Change website, www.chapelofchange.org. We have 5 services available on Sundays. We have 2 campuses. We've recently launched out a church called the House of Redemption with Pastor Howard O'Dell. He's our first launch from Chapel of Change. We're very proud of that. And Chapel of Change, our Celebrate Recovery group meets every Friday night at 6:30. We have food. 7:15, we start our services. You can always contact me on at my email address if you want to reach me. It's my email address is MagGarcia@Yahoo. So it's MagGarcia21@Yahoo. You can also find me on Facebook. It's facebook.com/1SweetDayMonet. That's my Facebook account. And I'm just amazed. I'm grateful to be able to share my testimony anywhere I can. And if I can save and help one person go through what I went through, and help them find their way to Christ, and let them know that Christ has forgiven them, and that everything that they've ever done, nothing matters, that he died on the cross for each and every one of our sins, and that there's nothing that we cannot be snatched, there's nothing that we could have ever done that will ever stop the love that Jesus has for us. If I can just get that message across to the women, anybody that's out there that's struggling, if you're gang involved, if you're involved with gangs, if you're involved with drugs, there's nothing that's too tough for Jesus. He's there, and he's ready with open arms to help you and to redeem you. Like you used that word in the beginning for me, redeemed. Jesus is ready to do the same thing for you. He can redeem you.
Thank you so much, Marianne, for sharing that message and for discipling the next generation. Because the Lord tells us so many times in the Bible to do that. And I'd like to share your email address once again here for anyone who would like to contact Marianne. This is Marianne Garcia at the house at the Chapel of Change. The email address is magarcia21@yahoo.com, and her Facebook, you can reach her on Facebook at www.facebook.com/OneSweetDayMonet, M-O-N-E-T. And I know because you told me earlier that Monet was your oldest daughter's middle name. That's very sweet. Thank you again so much, and may God bless
you
for all the work that you're doing. May he bless you and your family abundantly, as he says.
He wants to
bless us in the Bible abundantly. And I'm sure he's going to use you in many more circumstances, many more times, to share your testimony as much or as little as you would like to share, and especially about the work that you are doing and where people can go to get help. And I'd like you to tell us, end by telling us, what is the motto, your motto from your church? What is it that you have on your card that is the motto?
We offer fresh hope. Our fresh hope. We bring fresh hope to families and the community, and that's the number one thing that's in my heart. That's all I strive to do in my life, is to bring fresh hope. And that's what Chapel of Change is all about, bringing fresh hope to the community and families. And it's an amazing church. So, yes, thank you.
You're very welcome. May God bless you. Thank you so much. I'm so glad to have you be a guest on my show. And I will see you soon. You're very welcome.
Absolutely.
May God bless you and have a good night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was Marianne Garcia. She is a leader of a Celebrate Recovery group at the church known as the Chapel of Change. They have one location at 6701 Alondra Boulevard in Paramount, and a new location in Long Beach. I'll have that address to announce another time. But so now it's time to read the gospel message. If you have a Bible, I hope you'll read along with me. We're going to end the show by reading this message from the book of Psalms, Psalm 107, which talks about redemption. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. As Marianne was saying, she feels redeemed. The Lord has redeemed her life. And now she can help other people who are suffering with their own hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And so now let's read from Psalm 107. Dear Lord, I ask you to please help us understand your word and apply it to our daily lives appropriately. Here now is Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached the city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed his heart down with hard labor, and they fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven, they went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and they brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards, and a great fruitful yield. By his blessing they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things, and let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. That was Psalm 107, talking about the redemption of the Lord, talking about how the Lord takes care of us, his children. This specifically was talking about those who are wandering in the wilderness, those in the Old Testament times, those people when they lived wicked lives, how the Lord punished them. But as soon as they repented and were ready to come back to the Lord and change their evil ways and follow him, he forgave them and blessed them and prospered them again. The Lord is always here waiting for us. His Holy Spirit is here, here in the world with us. Jesus was raised from the dead and returned to heaven. Once Jesus returned to heaven, to the Father, to the right hand of the Father, the Holy Spirit came. Jesus said that when he left, the Father would send the Holy Spirit, and he did. The Holy Spirit is here in the world with us, waiting for us to turn to the Lord. He is our comforter, our teacher, our guide, and our counselor. And if you don't know the Holy Spirit, if you don't have a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you to say this simple prayer with me, asking Jesus to be your Savior. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm trusting by faith that you are the Son of God, because I know that I'm a sinner, and I know I cannot save myself. I'm trusting by faith, Jesus, that you are the Son of God, that you are God. I'm trusting by faith that you died on the cross for me to pay in full the debt for my sins. I believe, I trust by faith that you rose again from the dead on the third day, and that by your resurrection, you give us the hope of eternal life with you in heaven. I believe this by faith. I believe that we're saved by grace through faith, by the grace of God and our faith in you, Lord Jesus Christ. So I repent of my sins. I ask you to forgive me, Lord Jesus, and please come into my heart and be my Savior. I want to be with you in heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer sincerely from your heart, you can be assured that you will be with Jesus Christ in heaven, to live with him in the kingdom of heaven forever. Now, what you should do as a follower of Christ is join a church that teaches his word, the word of God, the scriptures. Join a church that teaches the word of God, that teaches the Bible. And you should read it every day and do what it does. Pray to him from your heart, just as you did just a moment ago. Talk to Jesus from your heart. Join a Bible study, a small group where you can be in fellowship, in companionship with other people who believe in and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord created us to be in family, to be in fellowship, to be in relationship with other believers and with him. And the way to develop our personal, intimate relationship with Jesus, with the Lord, is by reading his word and meditating on it, reading it and asking him, asking the Holy Spirit to show us what it means, to reveal to us what exactly the Lord is saying to us so that we can understand it, so that we can apply it appropriately to our lives. And then tell someone else what you have done. Give them your testimony. Share your story. Tell them what your life was like before you received Jesus as your Savior, and tell them what he is doing in your life now. Let them know that everything is not going to be easy just because we come to the Lord, because the Christian life is not necessarily easy. But the Lord helps us to live it. We cannot live the Christian life on our own, but the Holy Spirit of God, whom we welcome into our hearts. He is our comforter, our teacher, and our guide. He also helps us to understand the Word of God, the Bible. And so please share it with someone else and tell them how they can receive the Lord. So until next time, this is the Sword and Shield Show. I hope you will come to know the love, the peace, and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please tell others about the show. You're listening to the Sword and Shield Show. We will be airing every Thursday night at 7 p.m. We're in the Los Angeles area, so that's Pacific time. Again, I'm Catherine Resendez. I'm your host. Please tune in again, and may God bless you. I want to encourage you again to please tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ and how they can be saved. If you're in the Los Angeles area or have a way to get there in Orange County, come to the Harvest Crusade. Please let people know that Greg Laurie's Harvest Crusade will be this year on August 18th, 19th, and 20th at Angel Stadium at 7 p.m. I hope to see you there. May God bless you. Until next time, then, remember, Jesus loves you, and he's waiting for you to come to him. Have a blessed evening. Bye now. Hello.
Yes, I did. And I'm so sorry for bugging you again. I was just wondering, how could I put this on Facebook? I copied it and went into Google. I went into Chrome, sending a copy of the short link to myself and to a bunch of other people, and I was just about to send it. And I went from, I copied the link and clicked on the Facebook button, and it took me to the Facebook page for the show, but I didn't know where to post it. I didn't know where to click to paste it. And okay. Let's see, tomorrow will be Friday. Tell me between what hours you could come. I'm waiting for a call in the morning before 10 or after 7. I will probably be here tomorrow morning. And so let me give you a call in the morning. I'm waiting for a call from work. And I may not have to go, so I may be there. What's the earliest time I can call you in the morning? I probably won't know until 9. All right, then. So I'll give you a call then. All right, thank you so much. All right, have a good evening. Bye-bye. Hello, human. If you think this episode might be helpful to others, whom the Lord could redeem, as he redeemed my guest, Marianne. Yes, he redeemed my guest, Marianne. Who now leads the Celebrate Recovery Group. When you post it on your Facebook page, please. Thank you for any help or consideration in this matter. There's love and prayers for all of you and anyone who might hear. Here's the message in terms of the Lord are being renewed with hope. Thank you.